You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This Wednesday, consider it lit. We lit it up tonight, Conrad. We're not even done. We still got an hour of show. But we got to light up the next hour because I'm not going to be here until next Wednesday. So we got to keep this train moving. Our question of the night, folks, in case you missed it earlier, is what two celebrities do you hope never make a sex tape? This question was inspired by the new, I think it was Netflix, show, The Secrets of Celebrity Sex Tapes. I don't know. What secrets could there be? They're having sex on tape, and it's out there. And I don't think all of it's an accident. That's all I'm saying. We also talked about, we didn't get to the fight. We'll have to do that another time. There was a fight on the set of a Marvel movie. We'll cover that next time. Laura McKenna is here at 7:20 tonight, folks. Great to have Laura here. She is one of the new additions here at WGBW. She plays the oldies during the day, and she's kind of a radio professional. She's been around a lot, and she's got tons of experience, and she's a lot of fun, and she's coming into the studio at 7:20 tonight in just a few minutes. So that will be fun. I'm going to get to some of your texts in just a few minutes, but right now we have a few more minutes with our current guest, who is an author, Madison-based Chris Miklos. He wrote the book Tick Town, which is now available. And Chris, I love that it's 200 pages. It's a quick read, and it's just sticking true to what inspired you, the pulp genre, I guess, pulp horror genre. We talked about your writing practice. What, you're also a filmmaker, and you've made two. Were they both feature films? I looked you up on IMDb Pro.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's impressive. To get two feature films made on the independent level is really amazing. Tell us about The Headmistress. That was from 2023.
Yeah, so the second movie was called The Headmistress, and like our first movie, which was The Nursery, I co-produced it with my business partners, Jay Sapiro and Glenn Chung, and then Jay Sapiro and I co-directed it. And The Headmistress was actually a really cool project because we were offered the ability to shoot the film in a recently abandoned nunnery down in Delafield.
Oh, wow.
And so one of the executive producers on the movie had just bought this land, and it had just been decommissioned like several months earlier. And it had these two beautiful old buildings that must have been built in the 40s or 50s. And they were just full of character, and they were creepy and wonderful. And he basically told us, this was in, I think, March of 1999. And he said, I'm going to burn these down basically in December, so you can do anything you want to them until then. And so we wrote a script, and that fall, Jay and myself and all the actors moved in to the nunnery, and we spent about 12 days shooting the movie. And it was like a big, fun summer camp experience. Had some great actors. Really proud of the movie. It was released in 2023, and you can find it basically anywhere you get your streaming entertainment. So
that is fantastic.
It's a project we're really, really fond of.
All right, your first one was The Nursery in 2018. So sticking with the same horror genre, tell us about The Nursery and where we can see that.
So The Nursery, like The Headmistress, is a ghost story. It was very much inspired by the Babysitter in Peril movies of the late 70s and early 80s. You can find it I mean, you can buy it or rent it anywhere you buy or rent entertainment. But I always, for both movies, I like to send people to Tubi because it's a free service.
It's free, that just yeah.
is ad supported. So you can find them both at Tubi. It's a great place to watch them. If you're interested in the DVDs or Blu-ray, they're both available via that. You can get them, you know, anywhere you get that stuff. So yeah, they're fun projects, and you know, they're very, very, very low budget movies, but I think they hold up, and we've, you know, they're both award winners, and we had some success on the festival circuit. Nice. So I'm real proud of them both. Really,
that is outstanding. Both. All right. So now the big question, when can we yeah. see Tick Town on the big screen?
Well, I unfortunately say that Tick Town, just based on the idea of the book, is a little bit out of my budget range. You know, I'm used to the cheaper movies. And one of the things that was so liberating about writing this book was that I didn't have to think about a budget. You know, when I write a script that I'm going to produce, you're constantly thinking, well, how am I going to pull off this effect? You know, got to make sure the cast is small enough that, you know, we can afford it and all that sort of thing. And so it was just completely liberating to anything that popped into my mind I could write. But I'm not sure that I'll be able to afford to produce it. But if anyone wants to either fund it or buy the rights, you can certainly call me.
Anything is possible if you put a few dollar signs next to it. Is it easier to write a screenplay or a novel?
That's a great question. I actually found that my screenwriting, you know, I've written, 8 or 9 scripts at this point, and I found that my screenwriting was very instructive to writing this kind of novel, because with a movie screenplay, you want to strip it down to the action. You want to have descriptions that are very punchy and to the point. And that's how you want to write a pulp horror novel too. So, I think my script writing experience was just a great prep for the novel. But I think just because in a novel you can write anything you want, you don't have to think about the constraints and the possibilities that you're going to have to like pull off what you put on the paper. I think I found it easier to write the novel, to be honest with you.
Okay. That's it. I always feel the same way too. Like I don't, a novel is too overwhelming to me. Like I like the parameters of writing a screenplay. You got to hit certain beats by certain pages. I feel like personally I operate better within that structure. Maybe it's just what I'm used to. Like, I don't even know where you would start or where you would end with a novel, but you sound like you, it sounds like if someone did come in and back you financially, you'd be able to make Tick Town happen on the big screen. I think that would be really fun.
It's ready made for moviedom.
Yeah. Why are so many great horror stories at the big studio level or on the independent level shot in Wisconsin? What is it about our state that can be creepy? Is it the woods? Is it the lakes? What do you think?
I think the woods and the lakes. I mean, we have obviously there's something in the water, you know, with our history of various hauntings. And of course, you know, Ed Gein, and, you know, there's horror in the blood
for sure.
You know, there's a lot of that, and so I think that for me, I love the isolation, especially that the northern Wisconsin, you know, offers. That's why Tick Town is set there. That my next book is set in northern Wisconsin as well.
Nice.
I think you have some interesting, you know, legends and in some cases, you know, tribal legends that you can, you know, are very ripe for mining for fiction. And so, yeah, Wisconsin's ready made for horror. It's in our blood.
Yeah. Agreed. What are you watching on TV, Chris? Like when you're done writing and your 11-year-old is in bed, what are you firing up? You binge watching anything you could share with us?
Boy, I haven't been binge watching much, but I've been on a kick, it's funny. It has nothing to do with horror. I've been on a kick where I've been watching. I've been tracking down as many William Powell movies as I could find from the 40s and 50s.
Oh, wow.
I love the Thin Man movies, and I was watching one of the Thin Man movies, and I was like, you know what? I want to watch some other stuff. So actually, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been watching as many William Powell movies as I can find.
That's great. That's a great suggestion. Listen, this has been really fun. I hope you keep us posted on everything you're working on. What's next, by the way?
So I just a couple days ago, I sent off to my agent my second book. There's a very, very threadbare legend of a kind of a cryptid Loch Ness Monster kind of creature in Devil's Lake. So it's not actually set in Devil's Lake, but I kind of used that as inspiration and fleshed out, again, what was very threadbare legend about a sea creature. And so that's my next book.
That's outstanding. Well, break a leg in all your endeavors. Pardon me. And let's do this again. Keep right like the wind, my friend.
Pete, thank you so much for having me. This has been a ball.
My pleasure. All right. Have a great night. Thank you very much, Chris. That's Chris Miklos. Check out Tick Town, folks. A fast, easy, pulpy read. You cannot ask for anything, especially for me. Con, that's a book I could read because I used to be a reader. I've talked about it on the show. I was an English major. I've read many books, but I have not been a reader for years. And that's the perfect kind of book, I think, to get you back on track.
I thought you were just going to say because it's like 200 pages.
That's a lot of pages. But you know what? If it's between Kim Kardashian's sex tape and Chris's book, I'm reading Chris's book.
Yeah, I'm reading absolutely. Tick Town as well.
Let's have a Tick Town reading party. Laura McKenna will be here in just a few minutes, folks. She is a new member on the WGBW team here at Time. Have you listened to the station when you come in? It's a great. I find myself like, who doesn't love oldies? You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You put them on. And
always
it's just
good listen.
Outstanding. So, and we're going to have Dan Marcus on next week. So lots going on here in Green Bay at this studio, part of the Civic Media family. Laura will be here at 7:20. We've got some text to get through here. So let's try to catch up on some text. John Murray says, Peter, are the questions on your show now posed by the question makers from Family Feud? Things are getting racy. Just saying. I kind of think that's a compliment. I've never heard anyone refer to Nightlight as racy or sexy or whatever.
Family Feud,
yeah. Steve Harvey, no thanks. Steve in Florida, Conrad's dad checks in. Two celebrities that I hope and pray will never make a sex tape are old comedians Rosie O'Donnell and Jimmy Fallon. Oh, that's an odd pairing, Steve. Yeah. That's great. Nick from Marshall, he's in the 608, says, also Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart, even though I believe they're just friends. So they say, Nick. So they say, Nick also said Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr. Yeah, you don't need to see that either. Mark from Prairie du Sac said, Betty White passed away December 31st, 2021. She nearly hit 100. I mean, is that in relation? That's an impressive run for a very talented actor who I called very attractive. Even into her later years, I thought she was beautiful and funny. I don't think many 100-year-olds are putting out sex tapes, though.
No.
That's the problem in America right now. It's ageism, Conrad. We need more.
We just stopped that sentence.
All right, done and done. Robert from La Crosse, he's in the 801. Carol Linka and Pete Hegseth. People just can't get past, like, you ever do that? You ever have like a public figure you dislike so much, but they are beautiful or gorgeous. And then you have to play that game in your head. Like, well, if it ever came to that, I don't know. Moral dilemma.
I'm trying to think.
Get back to us. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. He's in the 608 says, Sherry from Pee-wee's Playhouse and the Vice Press. Everybody's putting these. Oh, hi, Pete. Melissa from Willie Street in the 608 says, hi, Pete, DJT and three-toed Marge, and then a puke emoji. All right. Political sex tapes, that's a whole different ballgame. We could open up a whole other can of worms there. John from Madison also says, superstar Donald Trump and Grace Jones might make me peek. Okay, John, way to reach across the aisle. She would potentially kill him in the foreplay segment. Tom from New Berlin says, celebrity sex tape narrated by Dr. Ruth. Oh, I like where he's going with that. John also says, Dr. Phil and Roseanne Barr. Oops, I just threw up in my mouth. All right, we're coming back, folks. Laura McKenna is here in studio. We're going to have a blast. You're not going to want to miss it. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. What makes her work? I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there
are some out there, they're probably alone. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Conrad's mom says Whoopi Goldberg with anybody. And that was an answer to tonight's questions. Who are two celebrities you hope never make a sex tape? And the list is endless. But let's pivot here and introduce my listeners anyway. Maybe they already know this next guest. Maybe not. She's been around quite a while and is a radio pro, as I like to call her. And we just met recently, but she joins us here in the studio. And you can hear her right here on WGBW during the day. Laura McKenna.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. It was so refreshing to come in here because in my like work life and in family life, I always have to be the planner of everything.
Yeah.
So coming in with you, I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Sit back and relax.
Yeah, I love this.
Leave
already.
The driving to us.
I love it.
Leave the driving to Conrad. He just tells me what to do and I just listen.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
I have a cat. Well, this is where... get ready.
Not what I asked.
Get ready. Okay. No, I have a cat. My husband has a cat and a dog. We don't quite live together yet.
Oh, okay.
So it's a whole weird thing, but no kids. I think we're more pet people than kid people.
Yeah. I love that you consider your pets your kids.
Yeah.
And I love that you said, well, we don't live together yet.
Yeah.
We
like
tied
to take
knot,
things very slow.
I think that's great.
Very slow.
Pete, we're finally going to be together. We're going to be buried next to each other, and then we'll spend the rest of it. I think that's awesome. Well, that's great. It's great to have you here, and it's great to officially meet you in person on the air.
Yeah.
So how's it going here at WGBW?
Good. I remember meeting you briefly a couple weeks ago when the station did the big flip.
Right.
There were so many people in that room. Yeah. I honestly, I didn't know if I met you that day or not. I was like, did we meet? Were
I
we
introduced
in the room?
Myself to you, and you said it's great to meet you. We talked for about 20 minutes. You asked me about my life, but it's fine that you don't remember
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
You got cats and husbands you got to worry about. And,
right.
So that was a few weeks ago, but now you're on the air. Mm-hmm. You come on after Dan Marcus in the morning here in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And how is that going?
Good. It was good to be back on the radio in Green Bay because I had moved here in 2008 and spent many, many years doing mornings, which is really early. And I always said if I could do a morning show at night, this would be the perfect. So this is, I'm hitting full.
You think
all
this is a morning show?
At this time of the evening. Yeah.
I
think it sounds fun when I've tuned into your show.
Do you think it sounds like a morning zoo?
Could on certain nights it could. but yeah, so I get to sleep in a little bit more now. But some of our old crew that we worked in across town together, Dan Marcus in the morning and Eric Westfall in the afternoon, and then me kind of sandwiched in the middle. We're all back together.
You've worked with both those guys before?
No
kidding. Okay. So now it's all coming together. It's all making sense here. So before we get too far into that, tell us and tell the listeners a little bit about your background, where you're from and all that kind of stuff. Let's get to know you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I grew up in Ohio.
Wow.
And my first job in radio right out of college was in La Crosse. So I worked there for about a year.
Okay.
Then moved to the Wausau Stevens Point area for about 2 years. And then 2008 into Green Bay, and I just never left.
That's really impressive. So you say you never left. Do you not want to leave?
Not really.
Okay.
Which kind of brings us to my husband and I. He still lives in Ohio now, so we're like really long distance.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah. And all my family's from Ohio, but they love coming here. And every time they visit, everybody just falls more in love with the area. And I'm like, well, yeah, no kidding. That's why I don't want to leave. So I'm trying to convince him this is the better place to merge households into.
Boy, that sounds like
back.
And what happens if he says, no, you need to be a Buckeye again and come back to Ohio? What happens there?
Well, you know, it's been 2 years. We're going on, we got married in March 2023. So we're a couple, going into the third year as of March. So.
And you're still
it's working out really well for him getting me to come back there.
Yeah, right. And I just got a new job, honey, and it's not in Ohio.
I mean, I can't leave now.
Right.
Right.
So what, like, how does that work? How do you guys see each other? Or how often, I should say?
I get back at least twice a year because my dentist is still in Ohio. So every 6 months, I got to get my cleaning.
We have to help Laura make a clean break.
I know. I can't, though. Once you're comfortable with a dentist, you can't leave. And I know there's great dentists here in the area, but you got to stick with it. So at least twice a year, I schedule my trips back to see the family, but mainly to go to the dentist. And so I'll see him then. He was just up here a couple weeks ago.
Your dentist?
No, my husband.
Okay.
If the dentist would come to me, that would be great.
I have to tell you, most of my listeners are dentists. So I was trying to help you dig out of a hole there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I could have more than one, but I just...
You could?
You know? Oh, if I could get a clean... I am one of the rare people that I would go to the dentist every day.
Wow.
And that is so weird. I know. It's...
There are weirder things than that, but I do put that in that category. Yeah. Maybe it's a little too much.
I love it. Your teeth feel so clean, and it's just, it's the best.
It's kind of like someone waiting on you, too, mm-hmm. while you lay there comfortably. Yeah. Just keep the drill away, and I'm with you.
And that's probably the thing. I'm a big flosser.
Yeah.
Dental hygiene is important, so I've never had to have the major dental things.
Do you think Laura's trying to tell me something, Conrad? Like maybe
does your breast stink?
I'm coming off a fast. I've talked about
Well, now
sometimes.
That you bring it up. No.
She's tearing up.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you get back to go to the dentist and see your husband if you have time.
Yeah. If I have time, I work at it.
So, and how often does he come here?
He has come a few more times this year, I think,
okay.
than in the past, but...
Can you say where in Ohio he lives?
He lives in the Columbus area.
Okay.
And I grew up kind of in that northeast corner by Youngstown area.
Sure.
I don't know if you're familiar with that.
My sister lives in the Shaker Heights area. Yeah. My niece and nephew grew up there. So that's a lovely part of the country. Does he like Green Bay?
He does.
Okay.
He does. So he just has to find the job to get him to move here and then...
Conrad, we got to work on this.
I know.
I think we need to start a campaign. Bring Laura's husband to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Alex needs to move here.
Is Alex listening?
I think he actually was because he texted me about your previous guest.
Because he liked the TikTok guy.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, that book sounds good. I want to hear more from him. I'm like, you don't even care that your wife is about to be on the show, do you?
Not at all. All right. Laura McKenna is here, folks. You can hear her weekdays here on WGBW spinning the tunes from 9 to 2.
Yeah.
That's a healthy shift.
Yeah. It's long.
You get a lunch break?
No.
All right.
They work me so hard.
We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You'll never walk alone. And you're forever. Heavy, they hit a bass, boom, I'm ready. Life is sweet as honey. Yeah, this beach chain like money. This go of alone. I'm into that. I'm good to go.
Let's just play this song for the rest of the show. It just makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me, folks. We've got Laura McKenna in the studio here with me. She is a new addition here at WGBW. You can hear her from 9 to 2 every weekday, spinning the oldies in between local news, and she does a great job. Tomorrow night, we have a special episode. I'm off for a few days. I'll be back live next Wednesday, but tomorrow night we have a special show, Conrad.
It is. It's a best of.
It's a best of. We have David Zucker, who is the creator, director of Airplane and Naked Gun. He was on the show the other night, and he's part of the best of. That was a fun interview. My pal Mike Schmidt was on the show, and he talks about playing basketball against girls when he was in high school.
Okay.
It's a very funny story. I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
And Mike's a great storyteller. And then the band Horace Green will all be part of the best of tomorrow night. So that's a great show, too. And then Aaron Carreno, our pal, will be hosting live. Well, he'll be here in Green Bay, right?
No, he'll be in Madison.
Oh, he'll be in Madison. Okay.
And then I'll still be here in Green Bay, though.
Okay. So, and Aaron has got Terry Barr. So, Bar Band Friday night is still intact for this week. And then we'll keep you guys posted about next week. John and Gordy will host one of the nights.
On Monday, 6:35, Todd Alba will
Todd Alba will be on the show. With John and Gordy?
Yep.
Oh, that's pandemonium.
In the studio, all in Madison, just not myself.
That's insane. You are going to miss out on a party. You should get in your car and drive down there.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. And then Tuesday, what do we have planned? Do we have a...
We do have a guest, and it's about a guy who... It's an author who wrote... I can't remember the title now.
But are John and Gordy hosting Tuesday as well?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
they are.
I thought we had established that, but I wasn't sure. Okay. So they'll have another author.
Those guys
are great.
Mitchell Goth. He's an author, and he's bringing his writing partner as well.
Nice.
Oh, fun.
Are they going to write on the air? How fun would that be?
No, it's
like Mad Libs.
Type.
We need an adjective.
I remember it's all about haunted Wisconsin. So that's going to be
I love that.
7:20 or 6:35 on Tuesday.
All right, I'm coming back.
You have
I'm coming
to.
Back
well,
to
that'll be in Madison, but you'll have to listen because Todd Michaels is going to be on the show Wednesday. I think at 6:35 we're going to talk paranormal. So that's back-to-back haunted shows here on Nightlight. And thank you to John and Gordy and Aaron for holding down the fort while I'll be gone. So that'll be fun. Laura McKenna is here. We're talking about her her marriage, her, we can move on from that. I don't, you know, I know your husband is listening and I don't want to take sides. So
you
unless
can.
You want me to.
You can't. It's totally.
Conrad, whose side are you on?
Well, not yours.
Dude, I am not in question. Are you listening to the show? Good Lord. See, you think you got Conrad on your side, mm-hmm. but that's where he gets you.
Yeah.
He throws you under the bus first chance he gets.
Well, you know.
Sometimes he's
pushing the buttons, so we gotta go with that.
We gotta humor him. All right, so when did you get started in radio? Tell us a little bit about how you got into this racket, and you said your first job was in lacrosse. Who are your influences, too, doing radio?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you how, when I went to college, that's how I met my husband, was okay. We went to the same college. His uncle worked in a radio station group in Columbus, Ohio. And every semester, or every year, I should say, he would take two interns. And I thought that I was going to want to go into television news.
Yeah.
And so Alex said, listen, my uncle said he would hook you up with one of those spots if you wanted to do the news radio interning. And like a dummy, I wow. said, I don't want to do radio. I'm going to do TV news. But I guess, I mean, what else do I have to do? Then I get in the building and I'm like, you know, happen to be on camera, do your hair, do your makeup every day. Why would I want to do this? And look at these people. They're crazy. In radio, I would fit right in with them. So kind of the rest is history. And then graduated, sent, I'm sure, what was a horrible demo tape to anybody who would take it. And then my first job.
You probably thought it was good at the time, though. But it, like everything we do, when we look back on it, it's like, oh, my God, I can't
believe it was bad. I wish I could find it. It was on cassette tape. That's how long ago we're talking. So I'm sure it is in a box somewhere, but I have not heard it for many years.
What
so.
was one of the radio stations you listened to, MMS in Cleveland? That was a big famous rock and roll. It was like the number one station in the country at times.
No, because I would be closer to pick it up. This was way before streaming and all that capability. So it would be more of the Youngstown stations.
Okay.
But
I did stand-up comedy in Youngstown. Yeah.
How was it?
Scary.
Yeah.
It was pretty scary.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, and I think the owners were mobbed up.
Every time I tell people I'm from Youngstown, that's what they ask. Is your dad in the mob? I'm like, well, not that I know of, but maybe.
What is the deal? That's
a
big mob town, right?
Yeah.
Are you in the mob?
Well, I can't really tell you that.
That means you're in the mob. So you play oldies every day. Do you like oldies? Do you have a favorite music genre?
Yeah, I like a little bit of everything. In fact, I work with Aaron that you mentioned that's going to be filling in with you on some of our other Civic Media stations.
Oh,
that's a great thing. If you have the Civic Media app, you can choose from all of them. So we work together on an 80s and 90s station in Eau Claire called CFW.
Okay.
And then I'm also on a country station called St. Croix Country, and then the oldies here. So I get a little mix every day.
You have all those gigs right now?
Yeah. I like to have a lot of jobs at one time, just in case.
You could make a case to your husband. Look, I got three jobs
right.
here.
Can
I can't
pick
possibly.
Up the pace and just move here? So I.
What would you be doing if you weren't in the radio game?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. But I officiate weddings on the side as well.
I want to talk to you about that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've hosted right down the street from where this studio is the Meyer Theater in the backstage, which is a event venue. And we've hosted a lot of murder mysteries there. So I do some event hosting and just a little bit of everything.
So, all right. So what is your, let's say, I think you called on your website, you called yourself a professional marriage
officiant.
Officiant.
Wedding
officiant. When did you go pro?
In 2018, my cousin back in Ohio. First
that
she called
first?
Me. Yeah. Okay. She called me. She's like, I'm dating someone you went to high school with. And I thought, oh God, this could go a whole lot of different ways.
He lives in Kansas City.
Oh, right.
I live in Youngstown.
Yeah. Okay. That's how we do it in my family. And I said, okay, tell me who I'm sitting down. Who is it? And then she said who it was. And he was a really nice guy. And so the next time I was home, they were engaged and said, hey, would you get ordained and marry us? Which, you know, getting up in front of people, that's what we do all the time.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit different when it's, you know, a wedding and super sentimental. And I didn't want to mess that up for them. So I laughed and we, you know, went on with the family picnic. And the next time I was home, they brought it up again. I thought, oh, God, we're serious about this. I don't know. I don't think I'm qualified for that. But here you just get ordained online. And I thought it was just a one and done thing. I got back to Wisconsin after marrying them. My co-host at the time said, did you ruin their wedding? I'm like, what? Why would
That's
you ask
terrible
that?
Terrible vote of confidence. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, well, I know you. I've worked with you for a million years. I figured you would just cry through the whole thing because you'd get so emotional and sentimental. And I just got real dead inside. I pretended I didn't know either the bride or the groom, even though I've known them both for years. And then people started calling into the show and needing an officiant for their niece or their neighbor. And then it just became this whole big, big business.
I have to tell you, I think, so why did they ask? They just wanted you to marry them because they love you as their friend and think you're a nice person?
Yeah, well, my cousin.
It's kind of a strange yeah. ask.
It. I thought that they should get a professional. That was yeah. my first reaction.
You were still
to,
had amateur think, status at the time, and
yeah, I'm like, yeah. you probably want that is a serious thing. It's legally binding. You want to get a yeah. person who's going to do it right, and then
I think
here
I'd
I am.
Be annoyed if somebody said, "Pete, we want you to marry us. Yeah. You need to go take this course." Right. I don't right. know if I would do that. Like,
well, and like I said, I thought it was
a good
just
friend.
A one and done favor to. Yeah, yeah, friend from high school and my cousin, and then here I am all these years later and hundreds of weddings later. And
I saw on yeah. your site you have a great photos of some of the services you've or the marriages you've mm-hmm. you've overseen. Where's the best place to get married in Green Bay? Is there a favorite location?
Oh, you know, there's a ton of great places. I actually did a Lambeau Field wedding once.
I saw that, yeah.
Yep, and then I do a lot at the Black Sheep Wedding and Event Center, which is really nice out in the New Franken area.
Okay.
Little further, closer to the lake in Algoma at the Grain Loft. Like I mentioned.
It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, Algoma, backstage yeah. right down the street here. I've done weddings there. There's
what is your, my guest, by the way, is Laura McKenna. You can hear her every day here on WGBW from 9 to 2, spinning the oldies. Great. Do you tap your toe or are you like, these are all just songs I've heard a gazillion times?
No, I think they're fun. It puts yeah. you in a good mood.
I
you
agree.
Can't listen to those songs and be mad about it.
Totally
you know?
Agree. In fact, when I've been listening more and more as I on my drive down because I get the AM uh-huh. station and it's, yeah, it's just, it makes you feel
they're
good.
They're fun.
It's great.
Yeah.
What is your success rate on people you've married? Is the divorce rate about equal or are you batting a little higher?
I like to think that they have such a good ceremony that there's no
that
chance
carries
that they
them
would,
through the tough
they
times.
Would ever get divorced after right. such a beautiful ceremony that they get
wow.
when they get married by McKenna.
Honey, you've
know.
Cheated on me. I know, but remember what Laura said
but
and
yeah,
how her big smile
said,
when she married us?
Remember
yeah.
this day and how beautiful it was. I don't know. I mean, they never really follow up with, hey, yeah. I just wanted to let you know we're no longer together.
Hey, thanks for nothing. We yeah. got divorced.
Right?
Like, blame you. Yeah.
So I'm going to say 100%.
Wow.
I'm the secret to a happy, long marriage.
Go with that. All right. So you also do events. I mean, I don't know when you find time to sleep. So you do what do you do?
Lot.
Wedding receptions? You double dip in? You do the, you marry them and then you have them
and
at
then
your
I
ceremony?
Do the, yeah. like, yeah, but just anything hosting, if they need an announcer, yeah. I'll do it.
You're pretty comfortable in front of a crowd, I would imagine.
I'm really nervous.
Are you really?
No, no.
I have a question for you. How
oh,
is
boy.
Wisconsin
okay.
A, similar to Ohio, and B, better or worse than Ohio? I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay, similar. And what's weird is I still call Ohio home, even
yeah.
though I've lived here
That's not weird. Yeah,
almost as
that.
Long as you know I've lived there. I would say similar in weather, because when I found out that I got the job here in the first job in Wisconsin, everyone said, oh, how are you going to deal with Wisconsin winters? But I grew up kind of in that Great Lakes region of Ohio. So we
right.
got a ton of lake effect snow. I would say it lasts longer here.
Yeah.
It goes away quicker in Ohio.
Right.
I would say the difference, the people are nicer here. And everybody notices that when
really?
When they come to visit.
Nice.
And the first time my parents made the trip, they called, okay, we just crossed into Wisconsin. We're going to stop at a quick trip. And then it was the longest. I knew it should be a couple more hours they should be here. And it's the time is ticking. I'm like, are they okay? I call. I'm like, where are you guys? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Mom's like, well, we had to stop a couple times, but it's like a whole half hour at these gas stations. People are talking to us. Oh, what brings you into town? Or we're going to see our daughter. She's on the radio. Then they're going to tune in. I'm like, oh, my God, Mom.
I would literally scream if I was behind your parents in line at Quick Trip and they're getting to know the Quick Trip
I know,
cashier.
But that's how nice people are. They're
that
just genuinely good people.
That's how
know?
It is in like in Marinette. The grocery store clerks are like bartenders.
Yeah.
You got people coming through, they got the coupons, then they want lottery tickets, then they're turning this in. It's like you can spend 20 minutes and then they're telling you about their grandkids and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I'm like, I do have things to do today.
Nah, you got to make time. You got to make time.
I would rather almost shoplift and risk getting caught than stand in line behind someone
but
for
they would be the nicest to prosecute you if you were shoplifting.
They would say, we understand.
We'll bag that up for you. Don't worry.
I'm Sheriff Big Softy. Welcome to Marinette. So lots of Wisconsinites leave, I've noticed, and come back. And I want you to think about this because we have to do a short break.
Okay.
But is Ohio similar to that? Think about that. And would you ever go back? Or are you here to stay? Or have you not decided yet? There is no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. And then I'm going to ask Laura what she's watching on TV or binge watching because her husband lives far away. So I know you watch TV.
Yeah.
Between your 18,000 radio gigs. All right. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are winding things up here on a Wednesday night. Hope you've had fun. We've had a blast here. My thanks to Chris Miklos, the author from Madison, who wrote Tick Town. Check it out. Thank you for all your texts and calls. And we'll have a few more minutes here with my current guest, Laura McKenna, who joins me in studio. And you can listen to her on WGBW. I can't talk. It's getting late.
Don't worry, because we just flipped that station.
I am
and
so
that
drunk
is exactly
right now.
What I sound
like. Okay. Laura McKenna is here. You can hear her weekdays on WGBW. That's where we are now from 9 to 2. Our question of the night was, what two celebrities do you never want to see on a sex tape? And Steady Eddie, our pal from Madison, says, Pete, worst sex tape couple, Donald J. Trump and the person he loves the most, Donald J. Trump. Steady Eddie doesn't want to see a Trump solo sex tape. Remember that time when Trump stared at the sun? That's what I would do to avoid watching any Trump on Trump action. Steady Eddie, Steady Eddie crushed it tonight. Thank you, buddy. That's a great text. Sydney from Oregon says, Grimace and the Hamburglar. Finally, not attacking a politician.
Where does your mind pick that?
What is Sydney into? That's not even like furry. That's like
Must love McDonald's.
I guess so.
maybe.
He's just hungry. But we did have Kermit and Miss Piggy earlier. Same person.
Okay.
Said he didn't want to see those two together. And I thought that's basically a PG-13 because they don't even
You would think,
have,
right? Yeah.
You know, but this is, maybe they could hang out as couples. You know, I don't know. We'll noodle that, Sydney. Thank you, though, very much. Thank you for all your texts. So, Laura, you're also a professional gift wrapper. Let's get. Where can people follow you if they want to find out all your talents?
Probably the easiest is the Laura McKenna Facebook page.
Okay.
If you just search that.
You got a fan page?
Yeah. Well,
that's awesome.
That's to keep track of everything. I have to have like one central. So that's probably the easiest way to send a message. Or
you know, I've always been scared to set up a fan page because what if you have like four people? Like, I've been in show business my entire adult life as a writer, a comedian, all this stuff. But most of my career, social media wasn't really a thing. Only in the last, like, 10 years is it Instagram and this and that and Snapchat. And truly be scared if I set up a, hey, Beach Wabba fan page. And they're like, we're good. That's okay.
no, thanks.
I'll still keep you as a friend on the regular Facebook, but I'm not.
But no.
That's kind of, that could be overwhelming, I think.
Yeah.
But you're doing okay. You got a lot of fans. You got many talents.
Well, I mean, maybe. I have a lot of jobs. I don't know how talented at any of them I am. But
It's good to have a side hustle. I think it's safe to say radio is your gig because you got all these jobs.
I've been doing it a long time, yeah.
Yeah, but that's good that you have like side hustles, I think. All right, so here's the question of the night.
Okay.
You're so busy. You've got this long distance marriage. You've got three radio jobs. You're getting people married. You don't want to hear about their divorces. I get it. What are you watching on TV? What do you watch at night?
I will tell you that I really live for Friday night Datelines. Do you ever watch Dateline?
Oh, the investigative.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Dateline watcher
for
a long time.
Yeah, from way back. My favorite. If I could meet a celebrity, and I know that's not the question tonight.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I love Keith Morrison. Do you know who that is on Dateline?
That's Matt Perry's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Stepdad.
He's been
around forever.
I know. And whenever we lose that national treasure, I'm going to be very, very sad because he's getting up there.
What have you heard?
No, nothing. But I'm just thinking. I heard a mention of Betty White earlier on the show, and that was sad when she was gone. And I'm going to take it really hard. But I hope it's many, many years from now. And I hope he never retires from Dateline because it's not going to be the same.
He's had a good run. People have called him the Pete Schwab of Dateline.
I've heard that. I really have. Yeah.
I'm trying to work Nightlight in there, and I can only work my own name in. That's a good show. But I mean, I haven't seen it in years, but it's true crime before there was true crime, right?
Right. It was the OG. I think it was the OG. You're not going to find a better host than Keith Morrison. But when it's not a Friday night, kind of like when people watch ESPN or the HGTV, I am a court TV watcher like that. It's always on at my house. So much so that when I brought my cat home, when I would leave, I would just put court TV on so he felt like I was still home because he was so used to the
I thought you just thought he liked legal drama. I think he does.
I think he really does.
Well, that's fun. So pretty much just that kind of stuff. You're not into like a show, or have you seen any of the summer movies that have been out?
You know, I have been so busy this summer that I haven't had a chance to watch. My mom was up visiting, and we finished up The Handmaid's Tale that last season.
Oh, wow.
That's not
such
for
a depressing
everyone.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the first season. I'm like, man, I just felt like
it's.
I don't think I'd like. I have a wife who, you know, she's kind of a fan and a daughter, and that show made me so angry. But not just because I have a wife and a daughter. The show is horrible. It's
not a feel good.
No, it's not.
but that's kind of the stuff that I watch. So it's not, I don't know why it's so dark.
I don't know. And I don't know why I said it, because I hate when like there's a professional athlete that like roughs somebody up or has a situation at home where they do something to a woman and the coach always says, well, I have a daughter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just a terrible thing. And I kind of fell into that trap because when you said Handmaid's Tale. But it is a horrifying show.
Yeah, it's a horrible show, and I loved it. But there's another one, and you had a question a few nights ago about if you could have a fictional character come rescue you or things
Ashen
like that.
Oh, yeah, Ashen Hero, yeah.
And my first thought was Ben Affleck and the accountant and his brother in movie. They would get you. But there's another series, and I think it is going to have a second season, but it just finished up the first season. Streaming on Hulu, I believe, called Paradise. And if you watched This Is Us, totally different show, but Sterling K. Brown, who was Randall on that show, is the lead in this Paradise show. So good.
I've heard that about Paradise.
Yeah, he might be my pick to come rescue me if you needed rescuing.
I'd like you to submit answers to all the questions since I've been doing this show.
Okay.
That would be if we, well, Conrad, we can get our list.
I have plenty of time in my life. Don't worry.
Rachel from Milwaukee says, Jane Mantner and Greg Bach, never want to see that tape. Oh, come on. I'm cheering for those two to make this happen. Okay, that was awkward. Folks, I will see you next Wednesday. You're in good hands. In the meantime, thank you, Laura McKenna. This is so fun.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Yeah. Good luck with all your gigs.
Thank you.
Turn pro at all of them.
Thank you.
Conrad, you going to miss me?
No. Yes.
Not, you know what? Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.